Hello everybody and welcome back inside the Shark Tank. We are coming to you on a bit of a high this week, having just watched Sale knock off the reigning Premiership champions Harlequins 28-22 in front of a pretty raucous AJ Bell crowd. My name is Lewis, and joining me to discuss the events of the week are my co-hosts Alex and James. Alex, how are you?
Very good, mate. Very happy with a spectacular win with a not full strength team against the league champions, and nice to make people realise that Harlequins are very good, but it does make them look a lot better when you don't tackle them, and it makes them look a little bit worse when you do bother to tackle them. So very happy indeed. How are you?
Ecstatic. Always good to beat Harlequins. It's always good to beat the media darlings as well. You know, we do it to Bristol, we'll do it to Harlequins. Whoever ever wants to annoy as the next big thing, you know, we'll beat them as well. And like you said, to do it with the understrength team as well, I think is, again, a real sort of indicator of how talented this Sale team is. James, how are you?
Yeah, all right. I was interested by the way the media kind of approached it, really, because it was Sale stifling Quins, and it was Sale's grit that got them to the win. How about we just beat them at a game of rugby?
Yeah. And you see this a lot, you know. It's, oh, you know, Sale must have done something to, stifle Harlequins or bring them down to the level or run them over. It's never that, we just beat them. Same if we beat Bristol, same if we beat whoever. We just beat Harlequins on the day and we were the better team by far.
And that's the thing, that actually we shouldn't have just beaten them by 6 points. Like, we should have beaten them by about 15 to 20 points. Because actually, we were playing good attacking, especially for the first half. Brilliant rugby.
Well, I mean, that's a good place to start. I mean, Alex, you know, I remember this time last week I said to you, off the back of the Gloucester loss, is it, you know, the way we fought back, or the fact that we were never close, that's most important. And here, is it more important that we've just beaten Harlequins, or is it the manner in which we beat Harlequins, in which we went toe-to-toe with them and were comprehensively the better team?
I think it's the manner. And I think, you know, winning against Quins is always impressive. But as James rightly said, we should have beaten them by more. And therefore, the actual win, on the face of it, as a result, if you didn't know anything about Sale and where we are as a team, you didn't know anything about Quins, you'd go, well, I'm a bit worried about Sale here because they've absolutely dominated the team here for 80 minutes, made them look pretty poor, given them virtually no opportunities, and only won by 6 points. And actually, when you consider all the players in that team, the fact that we've dominated them with Rafi Quirk at 9, who's 20, Kieran Wilkinson at 10, who's 21, or, you know, however old they are, is just ridiculous, isn't it, on paper. And we're bringing Tom Curtis off the bench as well to seal the game. It's so encouraging. I come back to that Gloucester performance that, yes, it was disappointing, but if you put it into context of how we are as a squad, it's actually quite impressive that we could have won the game. Well, you sort of copy and paste, and then the result goes the other way this time, and it goes our way. And I think that's even more impressive to kind of deal with that Quins threat, to shut them down so completely, and then to actually get ourselves into a tight game at the end because of our own errors and that kind of thing, and still come through and win it. So there's a massive amount about where we're going as a team. I think it's says a huge amount about Kieran Wilkinson as a 10. You know, I think Rafi's proved himself at Premiership level, and I think Kieran Wilkinson this season looks on track to do that. You know, he's been forced into this position by an injury to AJ, really, hasn't he? And he is just absolutely flying. I think, you know, he looks more than a Premiership standard 10. Some of the passes he was throwing on Friday night were just superb. You know, I was really excited about watching Manu live because it was the first time I'd seen Manu live in a Sale shirt. And actually, I shouldn't have been that excited about Manu. It was class. But watching Kieran Wilkinson play rugby, it's just a joy. And I think we bring a lot, and there's been quite a lot of times as a Sale fan where we've been very forward dominating, not that interesting a team to watch. And actually, with Rafi and Kieran Wilkinson, as James said on Twitter, the future is in massively safe hands for the next 10 years plus. So I think, the manner of the performance and the personnel who did it is the most encouraging thing about Friday. And I just can't wait to see where this team is in 2 or 3 years, because throughout the team, you've got young kids performing at Premiership level who, if we keep them around in 5 years' time, we, you know, it's the equivalent of Sarri's put out side with 15 internationals starting on Sunday. We might be able to do that in 5 years' time at this rate, which is just unbelievable. So hugely exciting, very positive. You know, it's not going to be simple for the rest of the season, is it? We're not going to win every game, but hell, if we can play like that, then I don't really care.
What stood out to you the most, James, from Friday's win?
Well, for a start, the size of Tom Curtis's balls must be pretty big to step up in the way he did and slot that. And you could tell how happy he was afterwards. You know, credit where it's due. But I think that the thing for me was just how physical we were. And we saw that last season, but we've been struggling to bring that level of physicality this season where we've been beyond the opposition. And we made a lot of mistakes. Don't get me wrong. I mean, the Dupreez couldn't catch the ball. I mean, they couldn't actually catch the rugby ball. So, you know, you think about how much further we've got to go, because they're going to turn up one of these games. And we know that when they turn up, they can win the game almost by themselves. So I think it's the improvement that's still to come. I think that's the most exciting thing. Because let's not forget, if we'd been told before the beginning of the season that with the start that we'd had, we'd be level on points with Newcastle and Gloucester. You know, or whatever. I think we're level with Newcastle and Gloucester. Irish are there or thereabouts as well. We'd be like, my God, we're in the wrong race. But it's the context that Alex talks about and the improvement that's still to come, the players that we're missing. And to operate with Quirk and Wilkinson, I thought Wilkinson was outstanding in the first half. And his first 10 minutes was, we've not seen a sail fly half play like that, certainly since Hodgson. Flat on the gain line. Chips over the top, flat passes, delayed passes, playing the team that's in front of him, really nicely weighted. You know, he had a difficult second half kicking at goal. And I've highlighted before that that's an area which is sort of unproven. And in Premiership level, and certainly to go beyond Premiership level, you've got to be an 80% plus kicker. And that is his question. That's the thing that's open. But as an overall game, I thought he was outstanding. Outplayed Marcus Smith.
I had a point on this as well. I completely agree. Outplayed Marcus Smith. And we turned down a kick at goal 20 metres in front in the first half, within like 5 minutes. And I was sat there going absolutely nuts in my seat. So if anyone sat around me, I can only apologise. So I was just whinging about the fact that we weren't kicking the points. Because then we kicked to the corner and dropped the line out. And you know, it's for Kieran Wilkinson, as a however old he is, we really need to look this up because I do this every week. But
21.
Thank you. But that's a really easy confidence kick. And actually, the conversion for the first try is a tough conversion, and he nails it.
And penalty in the beginning of the second half. Yeah. That was no gimme. He nailed that as well. Yeah.
And what frustrated me about our decision-making in that second half, and I don't want to go into the negatives too much because it was a really positive performance, we've got loads to talk about, but let's just put into context that we're asking him to kick from what was clearly the edge of his range, not anywhere near the middle of the field, and he's being put under massive pressure in a pressure game. And I just think we've got to... Sanderson's very good at managing game time for those players. I think the leadership on the field need to manage them a bit more in terms of when they're kicking to goal and when they're not. Because any 21-year-old who is playing his Premiership game, who's hyped up, who's in front of a packed AJ Bell, is going to say, yeah, of course I can nail that kick. And it's a bit of on-field leadership to go, is this the right thing to do? You know, yes, the points might be ideal, but if we're 40 metres out and it's on the edge of his range and he's struggling, you know, just have a think about it. So... I just think that needs to be in context for Kieran Wilkinson's performance, because I think you have to sort of put that element into it. Remember when Smith first came onto the scene, he was not a good kicker. He wasn't the kicker he is now. He's massively improved his kick in the last 2 years. So he will get better at that, and that's the massively encouraging thing as well, isn't it? But if we can manage him on the field as well as we manage our young players sort of off the field and with game time and that kind of thing, then... As you rightly say, we've not had a fire off like this for a long time. And he's showing that potential that James has been talking about for probably 10 years since he was, you know. since he's played tag rugby.
So, I mean, with all that being said, let's, you know, we've got to, well, no, we don't have to call the hype train, really. We can talk for hours about this, but let's pivot to some three-word reviews, because there's going to be someone in particular that we want to talk about. Mark Cole, scrum half cover. We'll get onto that. Danny Sweeney, Joker's defeated again. Big fan of that. George H, quirk for England. Brackets from a Wasps fan. Interesting. David Davis, Raffy outstanding again. Stockport Rugby, M&J. Curtis deserves chance. Yeah, fair enough. Deb, crowd 16th man. And another one from Stockport Rugby, M&J. Bulls, Steel, Curtis. Can't really argue with that. We're going to talk on the Patreon after this a little bit about the England squad, and obviously there's plenty of news, so if you're interested, make sure you subscribe to us on Patreon. But in front of Eddie Jones and in front of the media and all the rest of it, Ruffy Quirk was by far the sort of man of the match, and duly noted as such. James, what stood out the most to you from Quirk's performance? Because you were telling me 3 years ago, before I'd even heard of this kid, that he was going to play for England. And today, you got a chance to do a victory lap.
Yeah, well, I think it's been known that if he could stay fit, he plays in a very physical manner, doesn't he? And so you don't know how injuries are going to take its toll on the way he plays the game. But I think it's the speed of how his basics have improved. His pass off the base is really, really good for somebody of his age. And his box kick is really, I mean, it's really good. And to think about the improvement that's still in that. Okay, the great thing about that is eventually he'll lose a little bit of his pace because he is quick. As he gets older, he'll lose a bit of that. But he's got the basics to fall back on. And I think the way he's managing the pack and also servicing taking the pressure off the fly half, I think that's all really, really good things. But the most impressive thing for me was 80 minutes. 80 minutes as a scrum half in professional rugby is very, very rare. And it's even rarer for somebody who's just turned 20. So I think that says a lot about him. And actually then score a try in the last minute, which needed strength. And not just strength, but when you get fatigued, you don't think clearly. That's when people make mistakes. But to get stopped short and have the composure to regather the ball and place it after 78 minutes of rugby as a scrum half at 20, I think that just shows for me, and I think Eddie Jones would have seen this as well, some players you just like, is he that much better than Jack Van Poortvliet? Because Jack Van Poortvliet, I think he's going to get lots of caps for England. He's going to be a really, really good scrum half. But there's some question marks about maybe his composure in big games because he's not answered them. I think Raffy Quirk, I think he's an international animal. I don't think he's just going to be fine, isn't he? In a way where there's still question marks, I think, on Marcus Smith and Alex Donbrandt, which we'll talk about on the Patreon, I'm sure.
And Alex, I mean, maybe a slightly delayed victory lap for you, as someone who wasn't on the Quirk hype train for quite as long a time. But again, like, what did you make of his performance on Friday? Because it's basically all anyone has been able to talk about for the last couple of days.
I only wasn't on the hype train because he went to St Ambrose and I went to Orkney Boys, and there was a little bit of rivalry, that's all. Just unbelievable. He's an absolute star, and I can't believe how lucky we are to have him. I'm driving the hype train. And it's unbelievable how good he is. The accuracy of his play was something that just, as soon as he started playing, the accuracy of his passing coming off the bench was just unbelievable. And actually, I think on Friday night, he was not quite as accurate with his passing. A few were just not quite to the breadbasket, but he dictated the game and he outplayed Danny Kerr, who had a very good game. And I think that's part of the difference, isn't it? Quirk and Wilkinson outplayed Kerr and Smith. You know, and they had a forward pack who were, you know, dominating up front, but they weren't. It wasn't like, as we said, the Dupreeers were, you know, rolling over people. He had to play sensible. He had to learn to, you know, play sometimes off the back foot. And I just think he looks so controlled that it said a lot about his mentality. And you're right that he looks like he'd fit in at Test match level in a way that some other people. You know, it's Sam Simmons. Did really fit in at Test match level? And on the Lions tour, he didn't really look like it. And obviously, it's a very hard thing to do. But, you know, you get this hype around players, but actually, he looks like someone who, I think it's part of the nature of the way we play that every match is almost Test match intensity, isn't it? And the other thing that just impressed me is his willingness to take people on. And we don't have a lot of people who run for the gaps in play. And I think that's what Quirk does really well, is if he sees a gap, he goes for it. You know, we've got wingers in Denny and Byron who love contact, who love going and running over people. And if they've got a beaten man, would rather do it by, you know, bouncing them off and then scoring. What Quirk does is he injects pace into play because he goes for gaps and he goes hard and he goes fast and he just... He is fast, but he also looks like he's moving ridiculously fast because his legs are just going. And that drive continues when he hits contact. So because he's getting through those gaps, and even if people are making the tackle, he's making positive carries and positive impacts, and that's driving the team on. And he's doing that with the ball in hand. He's doing that with his passes that are bringing people onto the ball. And he's doing that with his kicks, which are really accurate. His box kicking was 10 times better than Danny Kerr's on Friday. It was just unbelievable how good it was. You know, Kerr was putting it so long. Hammersley was taking it with ease. There were a couple that he had to contest. But other than that, it was a really, really easy night for Sam Hammersley from box kicks. Whereas the Quins guys just never had an easy go. You know, there was always someone on them. There was always someone chasing. And I think that is going to be so valuable at international level, because that's part of the way England play. And you know, if people like Max Malin's playing for England, their chasing game is so strong that it's just going to benefit that international team as well, which I think is what Eddie will like about him. You know, he can bring pace, but the thing that Ben Youngs has brought Eddie all these years is control and a really, really excellent box-kicking game. And that's, you know, Rafi's got that in abundance, which is... There's just... When you look for weaknesses in his game, it's hard to find them, isn't it? You'd have to really dig in and point out that he's not that good at this, or, you know, doesn't quite do this that well, because every facet of it seems to be high, high quality. And it's that kind of thing we saw with the Curries when they came through, that they just look like good rugby players, good brain, good skill set, and you could almost put them anywhere. And it's similar with Rafi, obviously different because of his stature, but, you know, he looks like he could play anywhere. He's just a really, really intelligent, skillful rugby player. So I can't go on about him enough. I'm a little bit gutted that we're losing him to England, to be honest, because I'd like to watch him a bit more. But it's massive, massive for him, and obviously massively happy for him. So, you know, I think he will be a fixture of that side for a long time. And you're right, he's a test match animal, but in a sales shirt, he looks like one of our best players, which is ridiculous at the age and experience he is.
I think that comparison with the Curries is very apt. It's very much like 2016 when the Curries first started playing, and even at 18, they looked ready for top flight rugby, regardless of what they were being asked to do. And I think Quirk is in a line of very special talents in English rugby, who's been able to make that jump so quickly. James, obviously, we could go up and down the list. I thought Bevan Rodd was outstanding, 74 minutes for him. Tom Curry, first came back, he had an incredible impact, again, giving us a real sort of jackal threat. Both Dupree has had a bit of an off game, but apart from that, there's not really too many negatives to talk about. I did want to touch a little bit on Manu Tuilagi. You know, again, one of his first game for a couple of weeks, you know, obviously going up against Andre Esterhazen. What did you make of Manu's performance? Because he's obviously someone as well that everyone was keeping a very close eye on Friday.
Yeah, and I was impressed with him defensively, which isn't always his strong point, you know, to be disciplined, because he often wants to come out of the line and obviously kill people. A, you're never going to kill Esterhazen because you might come off second best. But I thought that they sort of neutralised each other, actually. They sort of man-marked each other a little bit out of the game. But I thought what was good about that with Tuilagi was he did his role. You know, if he had the ball, he'd carry. It was difficult, you know, going. And then tackling, you know, he wasn't going for the big hit. He brought him down. You know, he stopped off loads, but also cut him down. Really good tackle technique, which, again, hasn't always been a strength. So that's the thing that I'd pick out about him. I also wanted just to flag Denny Solomona. You know, second game now, he's had a bit of a thing. I think he's showing flickers and signs of being back now. because we've seen a couple of comebacks over the last couple of years that haven't gone well. I think this shows good signs. You know, he's up for it. He's physical, but he's looking light enough to still be quite quick. And so I like the look of that. And I think we should just give him a run now. And, you know, a try will come. And if it does, that is a bit of a game changer for us, because we need out and out try scorers. And Denny is somebody who, when he's on form, he just, even if he's like not in the game at all, he'll find a way to the try line. So yeah, they're the things that I'd like to pull out.
Anything else from you, Alex? I mean, it feels like we've got to be very, very restrained here, because there's so much you could pull out. So many great individual performances, so many poor performances from Harlequins, which you really hate to see. But let's keep this nice and tight. I mean, is there anything else you want to point out from Friday's game?
I think we can't go quite overstate how good Tom Curry is and how good he looked on his return. He looked absolutely up for it in every collision, in every carry, in every contact. I was saying he was almost too up for it at times. You know, he was just... That's what happens when you lock someone like Tom Curry up for 70 days and say he can't play rugby. He just goes absolutely nuts when he comes back. I think Simon Hammersley had a really, really good game from fullback. I think completely neutralised any kicking threat from Quinns. And because of our strong reward in defence, it actually meant that they just couldn't go anywhere. And realistically, they scored two tries, which were, you know, one was very opportunist from Danny Kerr, and one was just a good bit of broken field play and kind of, you know, a great line from Tyrone Green when we were down to 14 men. So I think, yeah, Hammersley had a really good game. Nick Shonnett in the front row, we talked about Benrod, and I thought he was unbelievable. But I thought Nick Shonnett really, really did well in the scrum, and I think we dominated Quinns in the scrum as well. Tommy Taylor off the bench looked really impressive. Loving seeing him back in sales shirt. He's just playing like he was when he left, and looks in great form. So yeah, you're right, we can't go on about everyone. The other one point on what you were talking about before on Denny, I don't know how obvious it was on TV, but you could tell in the ground how much he was loving it, right, especially at the end of the game, just loving being back, loving being in front of the fans, and looked like he was absolutely ecstatic with the win and with being back playing rugby. So it's just great to see, because I think he plays his best rugby when he's feeling like that. And it's massively encouraging. So yeah, all over the pitch, super performances. We haven't even mentioned Curtis Langdon, who I think just almost goes without saying that he puts in 8 out of 10 performances every week now. So yeah, it was an absolutely superb game. We can't go on about our youngsters enough, but as we rightly say, it wasn't the Dupree's best game. So when we get them back to full form and fitness, which, you know, is understandable with them coming back after where they've been and what they've been doing, i.e. nothing in quarantine, we're just going to be fearsome, aren't we? And, you know, as I think Alex Sanderson realises how good this team can be. And, you know, if you're an opposition team coming to the AJ Bell, you've got to be squared. And also on that point, I think it was 8,200 people. Anyone who follows Rugby Inside Line on Twitter will have seen, I think we had the highest percentage of capacity in. Really good atmosphere on Friday night, really great to see. So, with all those people,
more than that on the telly.
Yeah, it felt more than that.
It looked more than 9 to me.
Yeah. So, it may well have been, but either way, the atmosphere was superb. And the club helped that with like pyrotechnics before the game. That was really good, just proper atmosphere. So great to see, and hopefully we get a few more Friday night games this season, because the atmosphere is always up there for those.
I think the next game against Saints is a Saturday 5 o'clock kickoff, which I'm quite intrigued by, because again, same sort of vibe, you know, later on in the evening under the lights, everyone's had plenty of time to have some back 95 or whatever it is they're drinking at the grounds nowadays. James, obviously it's a massive win for Sale, you know, for a lot of reasons, especially because it kind of feels like this is the one to sort of get us back on track. And even though we've only won 2 games out of 5 so far, we're sort of right back in the mix, sitting in 7th at the moment. But obviously, this coming weekend, it's going to be probably our sternest test yet, even more so than Exeter or whoever else earlier in the year, because Sale are going to go away to Leicester, who are currently leading the league by a relatively comfortable margin. They have 23 points, and Harlequins in second have 16. So what can we expect from a resurgent Tigers team that I know you, again, have been on the hype train for a few months now?
Well, I certainly highlighted it. We all highlighted it, actually, in the season preview. I'm still there for listeners to go and check that out. But we highlighted Leicester as being a top four contender this year. And I would say that they're now obviously clearly title contenders. And that's the frame of mind we go into this game. And Steve Borthwick and Richard Wigglesworth, I think in particular, have transformed this team with a winning mindset really very, very quickly. They finished sixth last season. And don't forget, the year before, they were basically saved from relegation by Saracens going down. So that is a very quick turnaround, and they deserve quite a lot of, you know, I think a lot of respect for that. I mean, we know that Steve Borthwick is a good coach. We know that Richard Wigglesworth has been the best Premiership, you know, the best nine that the Premiership has ever had in terms of experience, but also just in terms of being part of winning teams. I mean, he's won more trophies, I think, than anybody else in English history at club level. And as I said, they're title contenders. Played 5, won 5. They've got a couple of try bonus points in there. They're really clear of Quins. Quins have a game in hand, but even with that game in hand, Leicester will still be top of the table. They're beating Gloucester away. They've beaten Saracens at home, which was like last play of the game, converted try. Saracens were livid about that, but a win's a win. 13-12, I think that was, from memory. Irish away, Worcester away. So they've actually had 3 away games where they picked up wins. And the Worcester game, they absolutely battered them. I mean, Worcester aren't a great team, but not many people go to six ways and batter them 48-3. So this is a very serious team. You have a look at nine. They've got brilliant choices at nine. Ben Youngs has started a couple of games. Jack Van Poortvliet started a couple of games. Wiggy was on the back on the bench this week, and I might even start against us this weekend. But they're 3 high quality nines, and of course George Ford at 10. I mean, talk about hype trains. There is no hype train for George Ford. There isn't one. You can't board one. It's not leaving any station in the UK at the moment. Yeah, certainly not on the way to Twickenham to play for England this autumn. Everybody thinks it's all about Marcus Smith, and George Ford is almost like old, past it, boring or whatever. He has been, by a distance, the best 10 in the Premiership so far this season. By a considerable distance. And anybody who entered now without the kind of Marcus Smith hype, and don't get me wrong, I think Marcus Smith should be starting for England this autumn, because we need to see 2 years out whether he's going to be able to take us to win a World Cup, right? And Ford and Farrell haven't got us there, so you've got to try him out. But I think the point is that George Ford is a high, high quality player. And the thing is that he's now available all the time. So for Leicester, they're serious contenders now. With Wigglesworth and Ford, 9 and 10, they could win the Premiership if they can stay fit. Academy players, though, Borthwick has put a lot of faith in them. A lot of these guys were given their first chances by Jordan Murphy, who shouldn't be forgotten. They were sort of thrown at the deep end and drowned at the time. Now they're a couple of years on. People like Cameron Henderson. Nick Dolly's come in this year and been excellent, formerly of the Sale Parish, and was released to go and play in the Championship. He's now been picked up by Leicester. Exactly the same for Dan Kelly, who got capped by England in the summer, released by Sale, now starring for Leicester. Joe Hayes, Ollie Chesham, Harry Potter, great name, and Freddie Stewart. You know, these are guys who have come through in the last 18 months or so and are really playing very well for Leicester. And then you add in the likes of Montoya, Genge. Dan Cole's had a new lease of life so far this season. He's been really good, not giving away the penalties that he has been in the last few seasons. You add in someone like Van Staden. Obviously, Jasper Visa is now back, and Matthias Moroni in the centre as well. And they've all of those that I've just named have been outstanding for Leicester. They've been putting in international performances in a club shirt. And that's what makes the difference. And the consistency is why they're at the top of the league. They've got a very big pack, but they've got some good backs as well. And some of those backs are bigger than their forwards. And I'm sure we'll talk about some of those a little bit later on. But I've just got one head-to-head that I'd like to pick out, and that's Jasper Visa against Dan Dupreer. I think Dan Dupreer is going to have something to say about Jasper Visa's first five caps for South Africa over the past 2 or 3 months. And I think he's due a performance. So I think that's going to be interesting. In fact, both Dupreers going head-to-head against the Liebenbergs, the Van Stadens, and the Visas in the pack is good, and also adding our Visa as well. I think there's going to be some punches thrown, I think, in this one.
Yeah, absolutely. I think one of the things that you've kind of started to touch upon there is there is a spine of this resurgent Leicester team that is built in the same mould as Sale. And what I mean is they've just stuffed their pack full of very big South Africans. Jasper Visa, Liedenberg, Marco van Staden, who I picked in our season preview as potentially one of the signings of the summer. There is a very sort of clear ethos that's being built by Steve Borthwick in this team. The signing of Julian Montoya has been inspired, you know, obviously the Argentina captain now. And it's not surprising really that the model Leicester have adopted has given them the same amount of success as it gave Sale a couple of years ago. So I think this is going to be an absolutely fantastic game. This might be a genuine final preview if all things go well for both teams in the next couple of months.
And can I just throw in as well, the really thinking about Julian Montoya is that he's made the very, very big decision, Borthwick, to take the captaincy off Tom Youngs, because Montoya's clearly going to be the first choice if he's available. It's a very big call back, because Tom Youngs has been captain for a long time and it's obviously still a good player, very, very experienced. So it might be an interesting comparison there. Jono is still clearly our captain at Sale. There's been some question marks about some leadership on the pitch. He always turns up. He's a great player. But, I thought that was a very big, brave call from Borthwick, that.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And there is a growing sense that, a bit like Diamond and a bit like Sanderson, he's become a real sort of rallying point for this team as well. You know, he's someone who's, the club is being moulded in his image in the way that you could probably say the same of Diamond or Sanderson a couple of years ago. So, Alex, Leicester, just like us, is absolutely stuffed full of South Africans. Which of our South Africans would you be picking to play in this game at Welford Road on Saturday?
I don't think I'd like to see much different from the Quins game, to be honest. I think it's a really well-balanced team, that. But I think I'd like to see a Dupreer on the bench, and I think that's probably Jean-Luc, just to balance their game time a bit. And, you know, if one of them's on the bench, they can kind of, you could even do 40 each with them both covering eight. I think that would be a sensible way to try and integrate them back into this team. I know it's great to have them both back, but we just have to be a bit careful with them. And I think, you know, there's enough cover there for us to ease them back into it. Not necessarily from a fitness point of view, just from a, you know, reintegrating into the team. So I don't know whether you bring JP Dupreer back into the second row, who I think has had a good start to the season. And then I think, I don't think we'll have any South Africans in the backs, will we? Because Rohan's obviously potentially, his ban might be up actually if he's done the coaching element of it. So he had 3 weeks, didn't he? But 2 weeks if he did the coaching protocol that I don't understand. So potentially bring him back in, but I think Manu against his old team is just too tempting, isn't it? So unless we go with the Boom Brothers in the centre, then we shall see. I think probably likely to see Cobus Visa play again. Always a good matchup with his brother. And it's almost to that point, you don't want to pick emotional selections, but it is good when you've got brother on brother and Tiwi Lange against Leicester. And I think other than that, we are still, let's not mince words, we're still down to the bare bones of this squad, aren't we? And we're performing very well, but we don't have, there might be the illusion of choice in some positions, but it's relatively limited. And I think we've got enough in the pack to rotate a little bit, but, you know, a lot of players had 80 minutes in that Harlequins game, and the good thing for us is we were playing on Friday, so we've got an extra day compared to Leicester. So I think we shouldn't be too worried about rotating too much, and I don't think anyone in that starting team has played them out of a starting, played themselves out of a starting place, other than maybe John O'Ross, just because you know he's going to get a yellow card. But you're probably going to have him on the bench anyway, and therefore he's probably going to get a yellow card coming off the bench, so you may as well start him. So yeah, minimal changes for me, but I do think dropping a De Pria would be sensible and just encourage that rotation a bit more. Bringing in probably JP De Pria for that would make sense. And, you know, it's a really strong team on paper, and I think we have to be happy with it on the way they're performing. And for me, keep Kieran Wilkinson and Tom Curtis in because, you know, there's absolutely no reason not to. I think they both look really, really good. And as we say, Tom Curtis, balls of steel. I couldn't watch him make that kick. I was genuinely, the only way I found out he'd scored it was because I heard the roar. I just had to, like, pull my hat over my eyes. So he's got bigger balls than me, put it that way. So, yeah, I think minimal rotation, maybe move a few players around, but keep the momentum. We've said how important momentum is in rugby, and not changing your team too much is the way to do that.
Right. Well, before we start talking too much about who's got bigger balls, let's wrap up this discussion and do some predictions. So, Alex, it's Sale versus Leicester at Welford Road on Saturday afternoon. Who have you got?
I think Leicester have had an easy ride. They're going to come up against a team who, like Sarries, will make them work for it. But hopefully, unlike Sarries, we won't be subject to a ridiculous last-minute penalty. So I'm going to say it's going to be a really scrappy, low-scoring game. But I think Sale are going to edge it 14-10.
I'm going to say something similar. I think it's just going to be a horrible game. All told, or maybe one for the purists if that's the way you look at it, but I think Sale are going to have just enough to edge this one 17-13, but that does come with the caveat that I think we're going to miss at least three kicks at goal. So there's a little bonus prediction, a bit like the Quins game. James, what about you?
I'm hopeful. I am genuinely hopeful, but I think going to Welford Road in nearly any year in history apart from 2 years ago is a very difficult thing to do, especially when, you know, confidence is such a big thing. I think the Leicester are going to edge it 20 points to 16. I don't think the losing bonus points would be a disaster. But, you know, we are down in the pack and it would be great to get on a run.
Right. And I think that just about does it for this week's pod. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Thank you to everyone who sent us three-word reviews. Thank you to everyone who engaged with us on Twitter over the weekend. I know there was a lot of love on the Sale Twitter sphere on Friday night in particular. And yeah, thank you as always to Alex and James for joining me. Alex, anything you'd like to finish up with? Because I can see you've raised your hand.
I would just like to say, because Leicester tweeted this about 6 hours ago, that Tom Youngs has taken indefinite leave to look after his wife, who's ill. So just thoughts with Tom. And as much as we don't want to see a Leicester win on Saturday, I think it would be quite nice. So yeah, our thoughts with him, and hopefully we see him back playing, and obviously, more importantly, that his wife is there.